Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And we have been busy answering your questions behind the scenes. We know that we're all getting a little cabin fever and a lot of things are starting to pop up and questions are coming in. And on today's show, we're going to be able to answer some of those questions that have been coming in through our different electronic platforms. But I want to remind you that a standing resource for you available to all of El Paso region is to visit our Master Gardener homepage. That's txmg.org/El Paso. The best resource for you to be able to go on there, click on some tabs on articles, on publications. That entire website is curated by local master gardeners. We pull in a lot of local and regional resources specific to our garden areas and region as well. There's also a nice little tab there where you can ask a master gardener who are busy answering questions behind the scenes. You're able to upload photos, especially now when folks want us to identify plant species and insects that are popping up with this warmer weather. So those resources are there, even though we can't visit with you in person, here to help. So with that, we kind of went through a lot of our questions that are coming in through our Facebook page, our Instagram profile, to answer today's questions, and we're going to kind of start tossing all that around. So if you're ready, guys, so am I.
I might say if they send in any, they send any samples, make sure you get good, clear pictures that actually show what the problem is, and you know, give a little description to kind of help people out because we're trying to identify it, you know, from distance. So just help out because we can't meet you face to face.
Right, exactly. So a question on that for a plant ID, for example, maybe the overall tree from trunk to limb, and then kind of zero in on because the leaf pattern, the way that they're oriented on the branch themselves helps us with identification. And then a third picture, if possible, or if the tree or shrub is in bloom, the flowers. So kind of think of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Big picture, medium picture, and then the identifying marks for us to be able to help identify that as well. So good points on there. And John, you know, now with technology and all these fancy cameras that are at the tip of our fingertips with our phones, got some good resolution on there. So play with those settings and make sure that you get some nice clear pictures for us to be able to help you.
No, that's great. And there's a lot of apps you can put on your phone also that will zoom in and you'll do macro lens. You can, you know, focus in on an insect real close and take a photo of it, different things like that. So there's a lot of options there.
Yeah, most definitely. Use those.
But, you know, give us the insect. We also need to know what plant it was on and, you know, give us some detail too so we can kind of help you control it.
Right, for sure. Definitely. All right, so let's kick off this mailbag here. We have a question coming in from Sandra, and her question was, is it time to fertilize flowers and shrubs that are leafing out and flowering? So there's
I would say yes, and depending on the shrub and stuff, but you know, you'd like to either got it done earlier than this or still go ahead and do it. And it may need a little booster shot later in the summer, but go ahead with probably a general fertilizer that's a little bit higher in the first number, which is nitrogen, because that's the one ingredient that gets leached and utilized and volatilizes and all that, and it's lost from the soil the quickest. So you don't want to dump a whole lot of phosphorus and potassium on the soil, which are the other two numbers, because they tie up and they don't move very much. So nitrogen is your most mobile one, so you like to put it down and use it according to directions. You don't want a heavy dose. It'd be better to do several light doses than one heavy dose, and then water it in right away.
Well, I think too, John, as you know, you're talking about with your shrubs and stuff, but this under our normal circumstances, this is, I think, a time when everybody is really into container gardening and they're starting to get their ornamentals out there because everybody's looking for that spring splash of color. And so you can follow good tips on how to plant those things. And one of the things I like to do when I'm starting my container gardening is to add a granular time release fertilizer into the soil before I moisten the soil and then plant my ornamentals, and they appreciate it. And if not, then it's also a good water-soluble fertilizer is really a good idea. And remember that for more blooms, your phosphorus is what gives you lots and lots of blooms, and that's that middle number. But a good balanced fertilizer is really the best way to go, in my opinion, to make your ornamentals be happy and look beautiful.
Yeah, when you're doing container and raised bed stuff, you're working with a kind of an artificial soil mix. So a good complete fertilizer is good to use because a lot of times your soils are kind of sterile. There isn't much nutrient value in them.
Right. Well, and once they start blooming, I like to use something that's a little higher, that middle number is a little higher, because I get more blooms. And I don't know, maybe it's a time to refresh people's memory what those three numbers are for. And that first number, we see three numbers on our fertilizer package, which is the first one is for nitrogen. The second is for phosphorus, which gives us more blooms and fruit. And then the last number is for potassium, which helps our root development. And, of course, all of those things are vitally important to the health of the plant. So, keep that in mind when you're looking at the type of fertilizer that you're purchasing. And you can't go wrong when you have one that's totally balanced. Lots of times it'll be a 15-15-15 or 16-16-16. So, and that's a personal choice. But follow the directions. More is not better.
That's right.
We tend to think, oh, well, one tablespoon per gallon is great, so I'll add three. And
right.
Then you look and wonder why your plant's all burned up. Well, that's
exactly.
Why.
So a lot of plants themselves, as they're leafing out at the beginning of the season, not only are they shinier and newer looking in color,
mm-hmm.
but they're also sometimes they're a little bit paler as they're coming out, because they said haven't started to photosynthesize as well. So don't automatically assume that these plants are having a nitrogen deficiency to begin with. Just kind of, keep an eye on them as well. And no matter which type of fertilizer you do choose to put in, whether it's a water-soluble one that you dilute in a gallon of water, or the one that's granular that you kind of broadcast and work into the soil as well and the ground, you want to make sure to kind of keep the fertilizer away from the leaves themselves.
The
you don't want to scorch any of those leaves as they're so tender.
Yeah, that does make a difference. And, those are some of the little things, the tips that are really good that we don't really think about until after the fact.
Right.
So that's really good advice, Denise. I think it makes a big difference for us.
Very good.
I think right now, everything is going on, we need this kind of stuff. We talked last week about gardening being therapeutic and stuff. And so being able to look out your kitchen window or whatever, or walk outside and sit on your patio in the evening with a cold drink or whatever, it's nice to look out there and see that, things are alive and well and starting to give you that color. It's very helpful for us as we go through this tough time. Not to mention being out in the sunshine.
Right,
That's helpful as well.
And a couple of weeks ago, when a lot of our stone fruit trees were in bloom, we photographed those and put those online. And we had a question coming in from Judy who says, when's the best time to fertilize to increase fruit production on my peach tree? So we know those peach trees usually will bloom first and then start leafing out. So they're a little, that's just their growth habits as well. So
I like a lot of fruit trees. Some of the stuff you do in the fall makes a difference in what happens in the spring. So, you want to care for the peach tree throughout the year, not just when it's in fruit, but you want to take care of it even when the fruit's off of it. So it needs a little fertilizer towards the end of the season to kind of give it a little strength, a little boost, a little energy going into fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so, having that fall fertilization would be good for it, but if you haven't done that, then doing something now would be important, and then again probably midsummer. So you want to kind of give it little shots, and again, nitrogen is the one nutrient that is most heavily used by trees, by the microorganisms in the soil. It leaches, with water, it volatilizes, so you're always losing nitrogen, so you always had to add nitrogen back, because that's what gives the tree its growth. Mm-hmm. So phosphorus, potassium are good for some of the fruit development and stuff, but they don't move into the soil very easily, so they have to be put kind of on top of the soil and worked in or holes made and put in that way. And even if you do a liquid fertilizer, it's still that phosphorus and potassium ties up in the upper layers of the soil and doesn't make it down. Mm-hmm. And nitrogen moves freely through the soil, so it's one that can be added readily, and you can do a booster shots to keep it going. So, but again, soil sampling, through Texas AgriLife, knowing where your nutrient levels are. Maybe you have enough phosphorus and potassium in the soil now that you mm-hmm. all you need to put on is nitrogen. So it's good to know that. But since you're trying to get it done quick, I would probably go with a fertilizer that's like a 16-8-8 or mm-hmm. Something similar to that, where the first number is twice as high as the second number.
Right.
And then put it down according to directions. Usually you're putting down somewhere around 2 to 5 pounds per inch of trunk diameter. So you're not putting down a lot of material. And then spread it out all the way out past the drip line of the tree, and then water it in real good. You should see some response in the tree within a week or two. You'll see some new extra growth on it. Or
most definitely.
And then when you have peaches, give us a call. We'll be glad to come and taste test your peaches, because they will be wonderful.
Exactly.
Well, that's yes, I mean, I'm hoping we're all done with late spring frost and everything. Some people, like to use Easter as a date, as when you're safe to do things. But, if there is any prediction for a cold snap or something to come through, you want to have your tree set up to where you can throw a lightweight frost blanket type material over the tree, give it a little bit of protection. Mm-hmm. Unless it's an extreme cold, usually not all your fruit is killed. It's part of the fruit's killed off. So you probably will still have some, but if you're really trying to, protect it, then you want to make sure you do a good job covering the tree. And that's only if we're going to drop down into the 20s or something, but which is maybe unlikely. I don't know. Crazy weather patterns, you never know what's going to happen. So,
you know what, John, every time you lecture on fruit trees, it always kills the home gardeners that they about thinning their fruit. Nobody wants to thin their fruit, so sometimes nature just takes care of that for us as well.
But I know.
We'll talk about that and thinning your fruit trees here in a couple more weeks, because it's going to be painful, but just treat it like a Band-Aid.
I might also throw out, if you have peaches, apricots, plums, you want to check towards the base of the plant with your finger, dig some of the soil back away, and if you got any kind of real gooey, gummy type resin that's around the base of it, you might have a peach tree borer that's feeding on the base of the tree. And we can talk later in the year about when to treat for that.
Definitely. Well, we hope that we answered with Sandra and Judy's questions, as long as with a lot of other questions that you may have. And we're always available for you online on our Facebook page, on our Instagram profile, and you can find all those links and all those handles on our website at txmg.org/El Paso. We want to thank you for listening to today's show, and thank Dennis Wu for engineering and producing. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Petrozelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.